seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Isaiah chapter 59 and the first verse. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We tried to look a little this morning at what a great mercy it is that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save poor, wretched, vile sinners. And we looked at a few cases where the Lord wonderfully put forth his hand to save his people. Such as the case of Saul of Tarsus and the Mad Gadarene, and Legion, and Mary Magdalene, and Ruth of old. But oh, how we need the Lord to fulfill that in this solemn day in which we live. We read too in this sacred prophecy, don't we? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And as we close the service with Jesus is a mighty Saviour, well, may the Lord help us to go a little further. And then we looked at how the Lord's arm and hand are not shortened that he cannot save from sin, and how he's pleased to put forth his mighty hand and blot out and remove all the sins of his dear people, and how he accomplished it most beautifully and sacredly at Calvary when that precious blood of Jesus was shed to cleanse the blackest, vilest of sinners of all sin. And oh, may the Lord sweetly fulfill this word today in these dark and solemn days, that we may see many yet brought out of the world and of sin and ungodliness and brought to the feet of Jesus and to gather in his courts with a real hunger for the truth, as it is in Jesus. But I said in conclusion there were many other ways we could look at this. But oh, we think particularly as we begin this afternoon of the great power of Satan. You know, he's ever active, ever powerful. But here we have an almighty God speaking this word. A mighty God that his arm and hand are not shortened, that it cannot save even from the grip and power of Satan. You look how wonderfully the Lord delivered Job. What did he do? He put forth his hand, didn't he? And stopped Satan in his tracks. And he can do that today. When he delivered Job, we know Satan was permitted to go to great lengths in attacking Job in so many ways, as we all here will know. But the Lord's blessed hand was not shortened that he couldn't save Job, was it? He manifested that power You see, really, what is set before us here when the Lord spoke these words, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He is demonstrating the great power he had. And that hand that he puts forth, none can stop it. Oh no. And the same with healing and restoring his dear people, both in soul and in accordance with his will in body. He will put forth that healing and restoring hand. But what I want to look at really this afternoon is this, first of all. The great hand of the Lord in deliverance. Oh, you think how the hand of the Lord controlled the sea when he delivered the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The Lord put forth that almighty hand, didn't he? And divided the sea. And I would just tarry a moment here while we're thinking of this, because it drops in, so I will name it. You think of dear Elijah when he went to Jordan just before the hour the Lord took him home to heaven in that chariot of fire. Elijah put forth his hand over Jordan, smote it. And look at the power of the hand of God dividing the waters. And what did dear Elisha say when he came back after Elijah was took into heaven? He took up the mantle of Elijah and he went to the river, to Jordan, and smote it. He says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And oh, the Lord, you see, was to put forth his hand and demonstrate to dear Elisha that same power to save, to deliver. And you think of how the Lord put forth his hand upon the enemies of the children of Israel there. You see, the hand of the Lord is not bound to land, not bound to sea, not bound to air. It controls all things. And it controls all things in the lives of every one of the Lord's dear children. Oh, to see his hand working. We think of that beautiful word in the Psalms, where the dear psalmist said, my times are in thy hand. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All events at his command. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, not like ours. We notice this morning how short our arms are. We can only do this or that. Much is out of our reach, but nothing is out of the reach of the Lord. And you see, when the Lord put forth his hand and divided the Red Sea for the children of Israel, he put forth his hand too upon Pharaoh and destroyed them in the sea, didn't he? And all the hosts of Pharaoh. And it's very sweet to me, you know, the places where the Lord's people have to come into and they see the Lord's hand in it. That it's not shortened. That it cannot save. And you think of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, how the Lord put forth his hand upon them to protect them. So the flames couldn't touch them. This almighty hand was there, controlling that furnace. Those that cast them in thought they had power over that great furnace, but you see, it was all in the hand of the Lord, wasn't it? And you look how the hand of the Lord was upon those dear men in that fiery furnace, controlling every flame that was near them. So it won't matter what place the child of God comes into, well, it's in the fire. I think of that beautiful word in this same sacred prophecy. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, the Lord said. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It's all in the hand of the eternal God, you see, whose hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. But then you think of Daniel in the lion's den. The hand of the Lord was upon Daniel. Oh, it was. The lions couldn't touch him, could they? The hand of the Lord was there, controlling them, shutting their mouths. What does he say to the king? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. And you see, this hand of the Lord has all power to shut the lion's mouths. And there may be many lions that are attacking you, the lion Satan. The Lord can shut his mouth in a moment. Or it may be men, and they attack, and they throw many things at you, but you see, they're all in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord can shut their mouths. I remember a dear servant of God many years ago when he was at work in a factory. As he worked, there was a man that so continually attacked him because of his chapel going, because of his keeping the Lord's day, because of his life and conversation, and this man attacked him on all counts as he tried to do his work. Bitter slander against him. But the dear man, you know, he said, I tried to pray for him that the Lord had shut his mouth, and he said, the Lord did it in a moment and struck the man down with death. And he said, you know, he said, I trembled when I thought of the power the Lord manifested in shutting the man's mouth. Very solemn, isn't it? Very searching, really. May we not be left, as I pressed home this morning to my own heart and to you, to limit the power of the hand of the Lord. He has all power. You think of the wind, it blowing today and more forecast. But you see, that wind is in the Lord's hand. Oh, it is. That will remove what he wants removed, not any man wants. And it will leave what the hand of the Lord leaves. Not a leaf can fall from a tree without permission of heaven. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, really? Not a hair from your head can fall without permission of heaven. What do we sing in the hymn? My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Now, what we need, well, I speak this personally, I leave the other with you, but what one feels to need continually is the hand of the Lord to be with us in all things. You see, our hands, whatever we touch, are contaminated by sin. And you know, you can do a right thing, but even with sin in it, you see. We sing, don't we? My life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. And you see, our best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. Our hands are contaminated by sin. But the Lord's hand is perfect. There's no sin in the hands of the Lord. What he does, the poet said, is ever best. And it may be you, in your circumstances, in your soul, in your pathway, you need the Lord to put forth his hand. It may be in some special way, it may be in a small matter of providence, and you watch the Lord's hand in it. It's not shortened, that hand, that it cannot save. It's not shortened that it cannot work. It's not shortened that it cannot deliver. It's not shortened that it cannot heal. It's not shortened that it cannot in a moment put down the enemies. And we need the Lord's hand in our own heart, in our pathways, in our families. In the church of God, the Lord to put forth his hand and to work. And then bring in his elect from all corners of the earth. But then do we not need the Lord's hand in this nation? You know, if the Lord put forth his hand, the stoutest of rebels can be brought to repentance before God. If the Lord put forth his hand, that hand is not shortened. What it's really exhorting the sinner to is this, to have faith to believe that nothing is out of the reach of the Lord's hand. We read on several occasions where the hand of the Lord worked for his dear people. You read through Holy Scripture and see how the hand of the Lord worked. It was not shortened. It's not shortened. You see, because ours are shortened, they're limited, aren't they? But there's no limit. And I press that point home in your heart and mine, to what the Lord's hand can do. You look how, if I may use an illustration of it, you look at the hand of the Lord with Joseph. How when he was in the pit, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Those brethren sought to kill him and to destroy him because of their jealousy of him. But do you look how the hand of the Lord was upon him? They weren't allowed to, were they? They weren't permitted to by the hand of the Lord. He controlled Joseph. And the Lord had a wonderful purpose for Joseph for the future and for the unknown way. But look at the hand of the Lord. In taking him, he was sold to the Ishmaelites down into Egypt. And the hand of the Lord took him there. He led him along there. And then in Potiphar's house, you look at the hand of the Lord being upon him. You see, if the hand of the Lord, I looked at this morning, is upon us, we are not our own. Grace reigned in Joseph. And that's what kept him from Potiphar's wife. Grace reigned. But oh, you look how the hand of the Lord was in even the things that seemed to be against Joseph. How he was falsely accused, but the Lord was in it all. He was in control, and it was in the purposes of heaven that he must go into the prison. And we read that wherever Joseph was, whether it were in the pit, in Potiphar's house, in the prison, and then in Pharaoh's palace, everything prospered while Joseph was there. And why? Because the hand of the Lord was upon him. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But you look how bitter some of the things Joseph had to go through were. We read about the cup being bitter, don't we? Joseph knew something of it. But the Lord, in his great love and mercy toward Joseph, made the very bitter things sweet. Oh, he did. We sing in the hymn, and I love the couplet. Although our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret that sweetens all. And you know, when you can see in it all, that's something secret. And what is that? The sweet presence of the Lord with his dear people, a precious Christ with them, his hand in every step that they have to walk. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It may be you need the Lord in some special way this afternoon and in your pathway, in your lot. Remember this word. May the Lord write this text in each of our hearts. The Lord's hand is not shortened. We often forget that, don't we? We're often doubting, we're often fearing. We sung of it in the hymn just now, didn't we? We look at the impossibilities. We think, well, how can we endure? How can we go on? We come to the end. We're like dear Elijah, asking the Lord that we might die. And like in the chapter in Numbers that we read this morning, how Moses did, didn't he? But you know, the hand of the Lord was upon dear Moses, and so it was upon Elijah. And it was he that was to bring them through. You know, if we could get ourselves through things, what would happen? We'd soon be lifted up with pride. We'd soon be full of self. We'd soon be boasting of this or that. But no, the Lord balances the clouds of his dear people. He keeps them down, and yet he lifts them up by his mighty hand. And he balances it all. Wonderful thing. The hymn writer said, didn't he, our sorrows in the scale he weighs, and measures out our pain. Some of the old preachers used to say, the Lord will never lay on us more than we can bear. But sometimes we come, feel we come to the end, but the Lord doesn't. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. You know, we so often look at our hands, what we are doing, don't we? But you think of the hand of the Lord. Well, really, if we want a beautiful view of this, you go back to the hand of the Lord in creation. That hand of the Lord was not shortened when he created the earth and put man upon it, was it? And he that did this can appear for his dear people today. All power belongeth unto God. So when you look at your hands and you feel, well, I'm failing in this and failing in that and failing in something else, and you look at your hand working and you find utter failure, may we look above ours to the hand of the Lord that works wondrously. Oh, it does. After the deliverance of the children of Israel at the Red Sea, the dear children of Israel, they looked back and they could see the hand of the Lord, how it had worked wondrously. Dividing the sea, delivering them from Pharaoh and his host, bringing them right through, a complete deliverance. And you think how the hand of the Lord reached out to Jonah in the depths of the sea. Oh, you think how low the dear man was, but you know he wasn't out the reach of the Lord's hand, was he? Sometimes you may feel, well, we're out of the reach of the Lord's hand. The devil may say to you, he's tempting you in this and that. Well, you're out of the reaches of the Lord's hand, but poor soul, you're not. Because the hand of the Lord is not shortened. You remind Satan of that, that it cannot save. But he goes further, doesn't he? Much further could be said on the hand of the Lord. And may we ever keep that before us. And not only that, but to plead it before him that he would work. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You so often feel, don't you, because you don't get the answers to your prayer and to your desires, that the Lord's ear is heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord's ear is ever open, child of God, to hear the sighing of the needy and the groaning of the prisoner. The trouble is our ear that's heavy, not the Lord's. Our ear is heavy, we don't hear him speak. Our ear is heavy that we don't hear what we want to hear for our souls, because our ear is heavy. Not the Lord's. We read, don't we? And well, we read it in the lesson today, where the Lord is pleased to hear and answer the prayers of his dear people. And we think of that beautiful word in this same sacred prophecy. Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. So often, you know, we want the answers now, don't we? There are times, like that word declares, before they call, I will answer, that we get the answer before we've even prayed it. There are times. That's a wonderful thing, you know. I remember my late great-grandfather Field preaching from that word on one occasion. My grandfather said that there was a dear lady in the depths of trouble that went up to that service. And he preached from that, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet hearing, I will send the answer down, you see, before they call. And that dear woman, you know, the Lord wonderfully appeared in that service and delivered her. She was so overcome from the blessing that she didn't even know how to walk home. Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. That's what the Lord has said. And yet we have here times, many times there are, aren't there, where we feel the Lord is turning a deaf ear to our cries. But poor soul, what does the hymn writer say? He tarries oft till men are faint and comes at evening late. Not when we think he will come. Not when we think he should appear, or in the way that we may think he will appear. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He ever hears the cries of his dear people. Oh, he does. Ever listens to their sighs, their groans. Ever listens to their poor, feeble cries and groans and sighs. When we think of the ear of the Lord being heavy, it's not heavy. It's ever open to the cries, as I have said, of his people. The trouble is, it's us that are heavy. We're often weighed down, aren't we? We're often in distress. We're so heavy laden. But he even has a word for such characters, doesn't he? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Neither his ear heavy. Now you can face Satan with this word. You see, the Satan will be ever saying to you when the Lord is silent, when you don't get the answers to your prayer, the ear of the Lord is heavy. But this is a word, you know, to counteract all the accusations of Satan. You can go back to the devil and say, but the Lord said, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He cannot hear. And there may be those things you're praying for, and may this be a word of sweet encouragement to you to go on praying. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. Sometimes it's just the groan, isn't it, that goes out of the heart of the child of God. Sometimes it's inward wrestling. I understand that in wrestling naturally, in a real wrestling match, every muscle in the body is used. And you think about that spiritually, with the child of God wrestling with the Lord. Every faculty of the soul will be in it. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And his ear is not heavy, poor soul, that he cannot hear. That wrestling prayer. You look how the Lord heard it for Jacob. And what do we read? And he blessed him there. The hymn writer said, thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. Neither is his ear, the ear of the Lord, heavy that it cannot hear. It cannot hear. is ever open, poor soul, to whatever need you may be in, whatever trouble, whatever affliction, the cryings, the groanings. Well, go through that beautiful psalm I so often mention, the 107th. And you look how many times we read in that beautiful psalm, then, because they were in the depths, because they were at their wits' end, because they were where no man could help them, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And we don't read his ear was heavy to them, do we? Or he turned a deaf ear to them. And he heard their cry and delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, he did. Wonderful thing, isn't it, deliverance? Something we crave more and more for. He that has delivered the soul by his mighty hand through life and heard their cries and groans, he will deliver them in the hour of death and deliver their souls into glory to crown him Lord of all. Well, may this mighty Saviour appear for each one of us in all our need and for us among us as a flock. And may we prove, like the prophet did here, his faithfulness to his word. What he has said will not return void. Well, if nothing today, and I've only scratched around the surface of it, be applied to us, may the text be applied, that it may be a word to live in your poor heart and mine. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Thus saith the word of the Lord.